WildTalkRadio.com.
Wild Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw Post Show.
Oh, yes!
Featuring Sir Rockin'.
It's just a man! What the Rock is cooking!
And Lindsay Ward.
Rest in peace.
Interact with us live and give us your thoughts on everything that happens on Monday Night Raw.
And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.
And if you're not down with that, we got two words for ya!
Because we believe in doing what is best for all of you.
Because after all, what's best for all of you is what's best for business.
Now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
This is Monday Night Raw!
This is a Raw Post Show presented, as always, by MBG Films, YouTube.com/MBG1211. Well, the national championship game ended legit in the first ten minutes. First 10 minutes, it was over. So we're here to talk about WWE Monday Night Raw, and WWE knew they were up against the national championship game, especially in that last hour where they thought the game would be competitive, and well, it really wasn't. Anyway, I'm Soraka, and that's Lindsay Ward.
You know, I really did want TCU to teach Georgia a lesson, but congratulations, UGA.
Go Dogs.
No, I'm not going that far.
Go Dogs.
Georgia's drunk. We're all just gonna just... Tomorrow's gonna be a shit show in the state of Georgia. The whole next week is just going to be a shit show in the state of Georgia.
Go Dogs.
No, we're not going that far. But other things happened, like Monday Night Raw.
They did, and they kicked off with Kevin Owens coming to the ring. And he was quickly interrupted by JBL. And he talked about, you know, Alabama and yada, yada, yada. And brought up how that Kevin Owens, well, Baron Corbin, I should say, is the only man to have beaten Roman Reigns in the last couple of years and officially pinned his shoulders. They do not recognize what Woods did, but Corbin beat Roman a couple of years ago, and he's the last man to do so. And now, well, JBL's like, you have no chance of beating him because Baron did it. You can't even beat Baron Corbin. Baron Corbin comes out, and they're all jaw-jacking. Owens is just taking a nap through all this. He said he was in the type of coma where JBL and Corbin spoke for 3 minutes and said nothing of interest, which is pretty much accurate. Owen said he was justified, and well, because he assumed the bloodline was going to show up, and well, you two blowhards will just do fine. So it was Owens and Corbin in a match with Kevin Owens getting the win with the stunner. Fine match. It was fine. Served a purpose. I just like the report came out. Oh, they have nothing for Corbin lately, and then bam, there's Corbin on TV.
They figured it out.
They figured it right out. Right after the match came the Usos and Solo Sikoa. They were all out there. They took out Kevin Owens. Owens kind of made his way back into it. You had referees coming out. You had producers coming out. Adam Pearce was yelling and getting them out of the building. They were in the parking lot. Pearce told them to get out of here. But then knew about the tag team turmoil match. And the winning team will fight the Usos for the belts, but, you know, while the Usos were leaving, Sikoa's going to have a match against Dolph Ziggler. Usos said, well, if Sikoa's staying, we're staying. And then the Usos were escorted out of the building, which, well, really didn't work, which we'll get into here in a minute. But, God, the Usos and Solo coming in, you know, stirring up chaos is always fun.
It is a good use of the bloodline without Roman. I will continue to say this. I like how they are pushing the Usos. I like how they are pushing Solo. I like how they're doing that. They're making Solo. They're giving the Usos a boost. They're utilizing them properly. Because Roman's not there all the time. Roman doesn't need their doesn't need to be there all the time, but that doesn't mean that the group has to suffer because Roman isn't there. They feel entitled, based on their own positions in the group, that they can go out and, basically raise chaos and destruction and confusion and everything else. So yeah, do the thing. Enjoy it. Have fun. And make people in the process. It's incredibly smart.
It is. Solo Sikoa took on Dolph Ziggler before the match. Ziggler was being interviewed. And it's all about, it's not about championships. It's not about anything else. He's looking for revenge. And then Mustafa Ali showed up and said, "Well, you could have been in the tag team title turmoil match tonight, the tag team turmoil match." And Ziggler, declined it. And, Mustafa's upset. And Ziggler's like, I understand your frustration. We went through things before, but it's like, he's looking for revenge. He doesn't want the championship. It doesn't concern Mustafa Ali. He's like, I hope you can understand that. And Ali was frustrated with it because, nothing ever goes his way, apparently.
Nothing ever goes his way, the poor guy.
So Solo Sikoa would defeat Dolph Ziggler. Fine match between the two. Solo's really improving week in and week out.
They're making him into a dominant force, and he will be something.
Yeah.
He's going to be something incredibly special.
Like, with his entrance and everything, he has the presentation of a star.
Like, he is being poised to take over from Roman at some point.
All he needs is reps, and he'll be fine.
Yeah.
And that's what he's getting week in and week out. Usos would show up after the match to celebrate. So the Usos are back in the building, so that authority really didn't, Anyway, Bayley took on Mia Yim.
All know about Adam Pearce's supposed authority.
Yeah. So Bayley,
and how it's not there, even though we love Adam Pearce very much on this network, the authority is just not a thing.
Bayley took on Mia Yim. She gave her girls the night off. Bayley would defeat Mia Yim. Fine match. Bayley cheated the win. Later on in the night, Bayley and the girls beat down Mia Yim. It's because, Becky wasn't there to have her back.
I liked Bayley's shot at Becky.
Mm-hmm.
I liked her little promo. I liked the whole thing. It was really, really, really good.
It was. We had Candice LeRae being interviewed backstage. We learned that Johnny Gargano was out injured. He got injured in Toronto at a live event. Shoulder sprain. But he'll be ready. He was going to be able to compete in Tag Team Turbo, but was unable to because he's medically disqualified. LeRae is looking forward to the Royal Rumble. Rhea Ripley interrupted and basically shot her down of any chance of winning. It's going to be a great homecoming gift when she squashes Candice LeRae tonight on Monday Night Raw. The two had a match. Rhea basically had her way with Candice to get the win. Candice had a few offensive maneuvers, but it was all a showcase for Rhea Ripley. And guess what? That's the way it should be right now because Rhea Ripley is being booked to be the star.
They're doing a thing.
It's the right thing.
It's completely the right thing. I'm here for it.
Do we want more out of Candice? Yeah, and guess what? We'll get it. It's just, right now, it's Rhea's time. Sometimes people have to be sacrificed.
Like Nikki Cross, lurking in the background, though. That was nice.
And she's been doing that a lot lately, so.
She's been doing that.
She's stalking the wrestlings, mainly Candice. Anyway, we had a highlight video promoting Cody Rhodes. Talked about the Hell in a Cell match. So we're slowly continuing, building the return. Cody Rhodes. We're gonna get another video next week.
They're building. Rumble's coming.
They're building. They are in fact building for him. Bronson Reed was interrupted by Miz, and Miz was like, we're friends and all this stuff, and he's like, no, we're not friends. If you need me, pay me. So we know what his role is now. He's the hired gun. So everyone who's worried that he's gonna be Miz's lackey, I think y'all can calm down now. I think you can all calm down. Bronson Reed is not Miz's lackey.
But they can't, Rock. They can't.
I understand it. But they can calm down. The internet can calm down and be relieved. Okay. Not a lackey. So we had the United States champion Austin Theory come to the ring. Doing the champ is here. And then, mock Seth Rollins. And fans start chanting what at him. Fans were chanting we want Rollins. Talked about Rollins getting injured last week. Out came Rollins on crutches. Played air guitar with one of them. He limped to the ring. Theory said Rollins was acting like he wasn't 100%, but we know he's not in the fans, though. He beat him last week. Theory recalled Rollins labeling himself the mountaintop, and Theory said if that's the case, then he's the pinnacle because of the industry, because he beat Seth Rollins, one of the best. but I've surpassed your ass. He's now on to bigger, better things like winning the Royal Rumble. He said once he wins the Royal Rumble, he will headline WrestleMania and he will leave United States Champion and the new undisputed WWE Universal Champion. So Rollins like, are you done? Fans would chant his, you know, sing a song. Rollins said his knee is not 100%, but his knee will be just in time, conveniently, for the Royal Rumble. He said he'll be even healed for when he main events WrestleMania. He came out here to hear the crowd sing. Fans did that. He goes, I'll see you at the Rumble, kid. Gave a crutch to Theory. He rolled out of the ring. Bobby Lashley showed up. They cross paths. Theory gets in the ring. Theory gets speared by Lashley, who came into the ring. Theory was like, no, stay out. And then, well, he got his ass whooped. Lashley said it doesn't matter who's in the Rumble because he is back and he is going to win the Royal Rumble.
This was all so, so good. I'm really enjoying the stuff between Theory and Seth Rollins.
They're playing off each other very, very well.
They have wonderful, wonderful chemistry. And then you add Bobby Lashley into that mix, which just adds another level of gravity to it. Yes! This is good. This is really good. This is the perfect use of all three of these individuals.
Then... go on.
That's all.
Then we are backstage with MVP in Lashley's locker room. And, well... they're trying to mend. He's trying to mend some fences.
Are they trying to go back in business?
They look like they're trying to go back in business because Lashley, or MVP, helped Lashley get back into Monday Night Raw. And well, he's mended Cedric and Shelton together, and they got an opportunity tonight in the tag team turmoil. And well, Lashley's like, I won't forget what happened when we went down, but we're good. But right now, no, we're not just this minute. So business is gonna pick up, just not yet. So we're setting the teases for it.
It's a process. You know, you gotta reestablish things. It's fine. It's fine. Everything's fine. They're working on it.
But is everything fine when it comes to Alexa Bliss?
Oh, God, no. Oh, God, no, it's not.
So Bianca's out hurt. Alexa's on the broadcast table. Accused Bianca of hiding, but she labeled herself the face of evil. She said she didn't feel bad. She said she hasn't felt this good in a long time because she's finally taking control and not being afraid to use her hands to call the championship away from Bianca Belair. It's not Bray Wyatt. It's not Uncle Howley. She's the one in control. Until Uncle Howley showed up and with the video plays, do you feel like you're in charge? And then Uncle Howley made his way out to ringside. Thoughts?
I like how they're doing this. I liked the little video that played for her with the playground and then all the images of her in the funhouse and, you know, dark evil Alexa Bliss, and she's not buying it, right? She's like, no, I'm not going back. You're not going to do this to me. I am in charge of my own fate and my own destiny. You're not going to do this to me. And then Uncle Howdy walks out and just the glare on her face and then just the really subtle sort of oh shit undertone to that where it's like, no, no, not you. Anything but you. And that's almost what it felt like. It's like, it's not Bray. It's not the Fiend. It's Uncle Howdy. It's you. Something far worse than Bray Wyatt.
So what is exactly going on in the mind of Alexa Bliss? She was asked this question by Byron Saxton.
Matt, Jackie, thank you so much. I'm joined by Alexa Bliss. And Alexa, I think we're all collectively still scratching our heads over what happened earlier on tonight. You're in the arena. Uncle Howdy shows up. There's some sort of awkward stare off. Can you explain what happened?
Yeah, Uncle Howdy comes out here and tries to scare me. It's a nice try, but I embrace my demons and I revel in what I am, and I am not afraid of him. My focus is on Bianca and the Raw Women's Championship because I am the one in control here, not him, me.
She's not going to be taken in by him.
At least not yet.
Not yet. He's trying. I like how they're doing this. I like how you're having Uncle Howdy try to lure both Bray and Alexa now back over to his side to get control of them again. And neither one of them want to go. And Bray is very steadily losing his slip, like his grip on his sanity and the person that he has become. And he doesn't want to let go of that person. But at the same time, Uncle Howdy is pulling him back and dragging him back. And now that he's got Bray to a point, it's like, okay, I'm going to go for Alexa and I can get them both back.
Yeah.
And I can have them both now do what I want them to do. And I like how they are telling this story with the presentation, that we are now seeing Uncle Howdy begin to go for Alexa and drag her back, kicking and screaming, into this, when there is this huge resistance from her that she doesn't want to go. Even though it's all there, like, we've all seen it, where she's gone dark and crazy and done all the things, and that's all what we want, but it's like the fact that she's trying to maintain control. She's trying to hold on to who she's become. And I like how she said, I've embraced my demons, because she has. Like, she is, the current version of Alexa is a really nice mix of old Alexa and Funhouse Alexa, where she'll, sometimes she'll go a little crazy, sometimes she won't. But the influence of Uncle Howdy is there, and it triggers her in a way that it brings that darker side out. Like, I really, really, really like how they're doing this.
They're doing a really good job with it.
And the presentation of Uncle Howdy, again, I'm just hugely complimentary of it. I love how they're doing it. I love how he has a completely different entrance, and it's literally just all black except for the entrance way with Taker's fog machines. And he walks out, and he's just this shadowy figure. You don't really see his face. You don't really see any details of him, even though we all know what he looks like at this point, even though we're all pretty sure who it is at this point. The fact that he's so shrouded in mystery, and they do such a good job, at least from a TV standpoint, of presenting him like that is incredibly impressive. Because by now, it would have been, like, if somebody else was in charge, it would have been potentially completely different. But the fact that you're continuing to keep him a mystery, you're continuing to just have him be this very shadowy individual, I love that. I love it so much because it's so appropriate. Especially when you see what he looks like, and you're like, oh, this is, like, if we saw what he looked like, everybody would shit on it. Everybody would be like, this is bullshit. But as it stands right now, we're all like, yes, we're on board. Please, please give us more. Because we can't see him.
You see a little bit when they take the still shots and you see them online, but beyond that, not much.
Yeah, but it's like, those are the still shots. But it's like, when you see him on TV and he walks out, it's like tonight, when you saw him on TV and he's standing there in the arena, and, you know, she's glaring at him from the announce table, and he's just doing his Uncle Howdy things, you don't really see his face. You don't really see many details of him. You just sort of see him.
So to the point, whoever it is never takes off the mask backstage. So no one knows for sure.
It's Bo Dallas.
Who Uncle Howdy is. They're keeping it a mystery.
It's Bo Dallas.
We know.
The internet detectives have already done facial recognition on Uncle Howdy. All know who it is.
Have they done that computer technology to figure out who it is too?
Oh, they photoshopped the shit out of it.
Okay. Yeah.
You can actually tell based on the cheekbones, and unless they based it off of Bray's mask, because, man, those Rotunda jeans, they strong. They all have those eyes and those cheekbones. You can tell. Because I've heard Vincent, I've heard Bo Dallas.
It's Bo.
It's Bo. It's gotta be Bo. I will say this from a personal standpoint, wrestling aside, I hope to God they did not strip out his hair, because he has the most beautiful hair. Like, for the love of God, I hope you guys didn't strip it and fry it, because that would just be a shame. I hope whatever's going on is a wig. Please, please let it be a wig.
Anyway, it's time for Miz TV. His guest is Dominic Mysterio and the Judgment Day.
This is the stupidest bullshit I've ever seen in my life, and it's fantastic.
We had Gangster Street Dominic Mysterio with the flannel jacket and the bandana on the face. Looking like Conan coming to the ring. So Dom said this, the one thing he learned in prison is you always travel with your crew. Miz asked him, what was like in the inside? He goes, snitches get stitches. And Judgment Day's like, you could tell your story. You're fine. You're fine. Dominic told Miz, imagine being locked up with the world's most dangerous people and not knowing when your next meal would be. He said it was either push or be pushed. Miz asked Dom what he decided. He did a lot of thinking and decided if he ever was going to see mommy on the other side, he had to do what he had to do. So when life comes at you with crazy changes, you have to grab it by the balls, just like Maurice does to Miz. Priest told Dom, tell the story of how you scared the guy straight. He said he was in the top bunk when his roommate spoke about pounding a hole in his face. Dom said he hopped down and asked the guy if he had a problem. That was that. And now I truly know how Martha Stewart feels. God.
Okay.
There's more, but you want to stop there for a second?
I have more street cred than Dominic Mysterio! Holy shit! What the fuck? Actually, that's not true. But, like, What the fuck is this? It's brilliant. It's so stupid. It worked. Baby, you didn't even go to prison. You probably didn't even go to county. Rey Mysterio lives in the nice part of town. We know where they took you. They took you to the nice jail.
Speaking of, Miz said sources told him, that Dom was only in the county lockup for only a few hours. Dom and Rhea got pissed at this and they all took exception. Miz pointed out that Dom was wearing a $500 flannel. And then Priest gets in Miz's face and Miz is like, maybe I was misinformed. But Priest said Dom would be there to witness him and Balor winning the tag team turmoil. And that's where we were headed next.
This is so ungodly stupid. I have to applaud everything about it. Like, this is just, how do you reinvent Dominic Mysterio? How do you take him from being Rey Mysterio's baby boy, the pride and joy of the family, and reinvent him so he is his own man? This is how you do it. Right here.
God, Casey. He's a filthy animal. I hope he makes a rap video. Please, for love.
Oh, God, yes, do it.
We need a rap video. So anyway, Tag Team Turmoil was up next. We had Judgment Day starting it off. They took on Gallows and Anderson. They were eliminated. Then it was Cedric and Shelton. They got eliminated. Alpha Academy came out. They were eliminated next. But this is where things took a little turn, as it were, because during the match, Finn Balor was injured after getting splashed by Otis as he was holding on to Cable. So he's holding it and his ribs are pretty messed up. And trainers have to come out. Pierce comes out. It's like, you can't go. You're medically disqualified and all this. Like, and they keep trying to force Finn into this match. And it's like, you're going to have to forfeit. And he's like, no. Can't do that. No, I'm fine. But like, every time he's up, he's in pain. So Street Profits are ready to go, and they're like, well, what's going to happen? Should you forfeit, or, well, I can go alone. They're like, no, you can't go alone. Then they're like, you either forfeit, or it's Dominic. And Priest is like, okay, I'll take Dominic. they had, like, no faith in Dominic whatsoever.
Which was hilarious.
It was great. Like, Priest's reaction to it was fantastic. Then he's like, all right, we'll make this work. We got this.
It's fine. Everything's fine.
So it was Profits and then Judgment Day, and it was good. Montez really went out and shined towards the end of this matchup. Big dive over the ring post to the outside. Really nice. He had a nice 450. Rhea pulled out the referee. Dominic would get a roll-up with assist from his mommy, Rhea Ripley. And Dominic and Damian Priest are now the number one contenders for the tag team titles. The Usos would show up after to have a stare-down with the Judgment Day.
This was all absolutely fantastic. This is the making of Dominic Mysterio right here. Like, this is... Everybody looked good in this. Everybody, like, the whole thing was just so well put together. I have to applaud them for it. I you know, they say fuck it to the national championship game when they just do this, but it was worth it, because if you watched it, especially the moment where Dom has to go in, right, and Rhea and, like, the whole everybody's like, oh shit, oh no, and Davey's like, okay, all right, we got this. It's fine. Just do everything I tell you. It's fine. We got this. Because we're sitting here watching this, and I'm like, no, Rhea, put Rhea in. Put Rhea. She could take them. Put Rhea in. And they're like, no, it has to be Dominic. And so they're like, okay, all right, we're doing this. And to have Dominic get the pin, even with the assist from Rhea, but to have Dominic get the pin was perfect. Because nobody believed in him. And then he does the thing, and they're like, yay! And the stare down with the Usos is the stare down with the Usos, but just the momentary freak out was just like, yeah.
But the stare down was big because the Usos were still in the building even though they were ejected.
Well, you know, they just walked back in.
You know, easy.
Easy.
Anyway, that'll do it for us here on the Raw Post Show. We're back live this Thursday, 10 p.m. Eastern with The Rec.
That's right. Tune in. We will be reviewing New Year's Evil. We also have about 4 weeks worth of news that we're going to try to slog through. So tune in. It's The Rack, Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on WildTalkRadio.com.
Saturday night, 11:30 p.m. Eastern, CB Radio. CBRadioLive.com, GreaterThanGreaterThanBay.com. Before that, we'll do some Fortnite. How's that sound?
Sounds good to me.
Sunday night. It's WTR Sunlight, Russell Talk Radio, 10 p.m. Eastern. We'll be back next Monday night for the Wild Post Show, 11 p.m. Eastern. It's at Wild Talk Radio. Facebook.com/WildTalkRadio. If you have that Amazon Prime link to your Twitch account, it's called Prime Gaming. Support the channel by clicking that purple rectangle button below the screen. You can also use credit code Rockstock or
Linz M. Ward.
In the Fortnite item shop or Epic Games Store. Why?
So we are hashtag Epic Partners. You can follow me on most of the social medias at Linz Ward, LNS30. You can check out my Twitch channel, twitch.tv/Linz Ward, where I stream Genshin Impact and occasionally Fortnite. You can also check out my YouTube, youtube.com/@SimbaLinzWard, or just look for Linz Ward on the YouTubes, but do the thing. Please come watch the channel. I beg of you. Thank you.
We'll see you Thursday for the rack. And right back here for the Raw Post Show every Monday night, along the airwaves of the Wild Talk Radio Network.
WildTalkRadio.com.